it's kernels that the good times roll.
Welcome to All Ears, the official podcast of the Cedar Rapids Kernels, presented by Miracle Ear. I'm your host and voice of the Kernels, Calvin Cristoforo. On the podcast, you'll hear from past and present Cedar Rapids baseball influencers, including players, managers, executives, insiders, and more.
Cedar Rapids Kernels, let the good times roll.
Season 3, Episode 3 of the All Ears Podcast, presented to you by Miracle Ear. It's our first player edition of the Season 3 episodes. We're here with Kernels infielder Tanner Schobel. Tanner, thanks for taking so much time on your off day to chat with us.
Yeah, of course. Happy to be here.
Kernels off to a decent start, 5-3 as we record this episode in between series against Quad Cities and Beloit. How have you enjoyed your time so far in Eastern Iowa?
It's been a good time. I've never been to Iowa before, and so it's definitely different. It's different than, you know, Virginia, than Florida, but I'm really enjoying it, and I've met a lot of really cool people so far.
What makes it different?
Well, I like the food here a lot. It's really fresh. It's really good. Yeah, I'm a big fan. In Virginia, you have farms and stuff. In Florida, where we were, not really too many farms. But it is kind of like a different like culture aspect that I haven't really been a part of. So I'm excited to be here.
What foods have you found to enjoy?
A lot of the dairy stuff is really good here. So, like, I'm drinking a Starbucks right now that has, you know, milk in it, and it just tastes better. I don't know why. Okay. Then, like, the steak and stuff here tastes really good. A lot of the vegetables, you know, you can tell they're fresh. But I'm a big fan so far of the food here in Iowa.
What's the Starbucks order?
I got a dirty chai. So it's chai with a couple shots of espresso.
Is that like a everyday go-to for you?
I like to switch it up a little bit, okay. You know. I'll get sometimes just a regular cold brew. Sometimes I'll go like a vanilla latte. I kind of keep it simple, but it's good stuff.
Coffee aside, you know, the play on the field has been really solid to begin the season. It's kind of similar of a roster, what you guys had last year down at the end of the season with Fort Myers. So how cool has it been to play in A-ball with those guys and now come back here to High A and still be one joint team as one together?
It's really cool because I think what the Twins want is to keep a lot of their players together so they can grow through the minor leagues with them, just having that team chemistry. So when, you know, certain guys are ready to make that big league jump, then it's, you've played these guys before. And I think it's just really cool because you really learn the players better over the years. You have a lot of just good guys on the team too. So it makes things a lot of fun.
What has the transition been like for you, you know, playing 20-plus games a little bit at the end of your draft year in single A, now playing the first 10 or so in high A? What differences do you see between the two levels so far?
That's a good question. I think last year, you know, it was my first little short season. And coming off of college season, you know, I was trying to do a lot. And I think when you get to pro ball, it's a lot more of just a process over the results. And so I was and so this past offseason, I really worked on, you know, a lot of different things. And then this year, it's just taking it one game at a time because, you know, you're playing well over 100 games and it's a long season. So I'd say the biggest difference is, like, you don't have to worry about the results, like, right away, but it's, you just have to stay consistent throughout the length of the season.
Cedar Rapids Kernels, let the good times roll.
Hearing is important to living life to the fullest. That's why inside every Miracle Ear store, you'll find better laughs at family barbecues. You'll find a better life is in store at Miracle Ear when you experience the Miracle Ear exclusive advantage. It starts with our free hearing assessment, plus innovative products that will fit your needs and budget. With free service and adjustments for life, call 319-243-7105 to schedule a free hearing evaluation and find a better life in store. Our local Miracle Ear team is proud to support the Cedar Rapids Kernels.
Group outings are a great way to unwind and enjoy a night out, and we invite you to reach out to our group sales staff and see all the options we have.
Everybody knows when you're at the game, the good times roll. Hey, Kernels, let the good times roll.
This is season 3, episode 3 of the Colonel's All Ear podcast, presented to you by Miracle Ear. You can listen to us wherever you get your podcasts. Also now a video portion as Tanner and I talk on Zoom here on YouTube. Tanner, let's take a pause from the baseball this year and let's go all the way back and let's start from the beginning with you becoming a baseball player. When did you know that you wanted to pursue baseball full time?
Yeah. I'd say kind of as I was going through the college recruitment process, you know, playing growing up, you always just were with your friends, just having fun. I know nowadays it's a little different with a lot of the showcase stuff and people caring too much about winning tournaments when, you know, you're 12 years old. But when I was growing up, it was just about having fun and trying to be the best player you could be at that age. And then when I started talking to colleges and getting recruited, that's when I figured, hey, like, I could play in college now. That's kind of cool. Like, let's see how far we can go. And then I get to college, you know, and play pretty well. And then go to Cape Cod where, you know, go Born Braves.
Facts.
And so playing there is when I really realized, like, oh, shoot, I could probably play professionally. And hopefully that's in the cards for me. And then going into my sophomore year at Virginia Tech, I, you know, I had a good year. And so I was very fortunate enough to have an opportunity to play professional. And ever since then, I was like, all right, well, we're in it for the long haul now and just keep having fun with it day by day.
We'll get into our Born Brave summer in a second because I can't go 20 minutes without telling anyone that has ears that Tanner and I were together with the same summer ball team for a season on the Cape. Growing up, though, was there any other sports besides baseball that you played?
Well, I played basketball, but – you know, I wasn't very good. That was more of just like a pickup with your friends in the neighborhood kind of thing for me. But I mean, growing up, my parents wanted to introduce me to all the different sports, you know, soccer, even tennis, swimming, the sports like that. I never played football, which I'm kind of thankful just with all the concussion stuff that comes out. But for the most part, it was just kind of like they introduced me to sports and they're just kind of seeing what I enjoyed and what I liked. And baseball is one of those sports that I always really just kind of stuck with me and wanted to keep getting better at.
So besides baseball, what sport did you play the longest? up to what age did you go?
Probably basketball. So I played basketball up until maybe freshman or sophomore year of high school. And that's about the same time I committed to Virginia Tech. So after I committed, I was like, it's probably too much of a risk to get hurt. And so I just focused on baseball and lifting and getting stronger in the weight room.
Let's talk about that recruiting process. You know, what was that like for you? How early did it start? And what made you eventually choose Virginia Tech?
Yeah, so I'd say the summer after my freshman year, that summer, colleges were starting to reach out to me after, you know, showcases and tournaments. And I couldn't drive a car yet, so I wasn't really sure, like, how this whole thing was going to pan out. And so I started talking to schools, going on little visits. And then like right around the middle of the summer, like probably around like late June, July timeframe, Virginia Tech reached out to me and I thought that was really cool. Cause like I'm from Virginia and that's like, you know, one of the bigger schools in Virginia. And so I was like, shoot, like, let's go check it out. And so I was talking to Coach Elbin there and they got me on a visit, to a football game, or not a visit, I guess, but just like a camp, went to a football game and stuff. Excuse me, gosh. And that was really cool. And just the atmosphere there was incredible. And so I ended up committing, you know, a couple weeks later and that's kind of how that process went, but it was cool. Cause Coach Elbin was at VCU before he was at Virginia Tech. And, the travel ball coach that I played for went to VCU and had a lot of connections there. So we knew Coach Elbin for a long period of time. And so when I was starting to go through my college recruitment, my travel ball coach, Donnie Phillips, asked me to make a list of schools that I would be interested in going to. And so, you know, I put all like the big schools that I thought would be cool to play at. And so Virginia Tech was on the list too, because, you know, being in Virginia, I want to go to a Virginia school. And so Coach Donnie reached out to Coach Elbin and got some eyes on me. And that's when they started watching me. And then, like I said before, the little recruiting trips and the camps and stuff, and ended up being a Hokie and never looked back.
What other schools were on that list you put together?
Yeah, so, well, So like my brother went to Alabama, so like I thought that'd be cool. But for the most part, it was all like Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina schools. I kind of wanted to stay close to home. That was one thing. I ended up getting an offer from the Air Force Academy from Coach Kaz out in Colorado Springs, and my dad went to the Air Force Academy, so that was I really considered going there. And I really liked it out there, but I just thought, you know, being close to home and getting to play in the ACC was an opportunity I really couldn't turn down. And I'm very thankful how everything kind of turned out.
Stay connected with the Cedar Rapids Colonels all year long by following the Colonels on social media. Catch up with the Colonels on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at CR Colonel.
Calvin Cristoforo talking to Colonels infielder Tanner Schobel here on episode 3 of season 3 of the Colonels All Year podcast presented by Miracle Ear. Okay, so we're making our college commitment. Did you kind of feel like you had a target on your back going through the rest of high school with that VT name planted on you a little bit?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I feel like everybody wants to take down good players and wants to, you know, beat good players. I know when I was playing against different commits, you know, North Carolina commits, UVA commits, SEC commits, ACC commits in general. I was always kind of like, I want to beat these guys. So I'm sure a lot of different players and schools probably had that same mindset coming after me and some of my teammates. But for the most part, I never really looked into that kind of stuff as like, oh, like this kid's going here, so I want to show him up. It was mostly just I'm out there competing with my buddies and I'm just trying to have a good time and enjoy it.
So you get through your high school years, you show up on campus at Virginia Tech. What's the transition now? You're hitting against, you know, I'm sure you played older kids, but in high school, 17, 18-year-olds, and now you're rolling in as a freshman and you're facing guys that are 22, maybe 23 at the oldest. What was that transition period like for you?
Well, initially when I got to Virginia Tech, you know, we do all preseason, all fall, playing against like ACC arms and pitchers that are a couple years older. So initially it was kind of one of those things where, you know, you get in the batter's box and you look up and you see, you know, like the Virginia Tech logo and you see these dudes with beards and tattoos and you're like, oh shoot, like this is kind of weird. Like, I don't know how I'm going to do against these guys, but at the end of the day, the preparation is so good that it's like, you're just playing baseball. It's the same game, but it's just faster and everything's more critiqued, more fine tuned, I'd say. And even in the professional level, it gets the same way where each level you go up, it's more, you know, fine tuned. But it was cool. I mean, going into my first ACC weekend, my freshman year, we played against UNC. And like anytime you play against a UNC kid, like in high school growing up, it's like, oh, like that's a big recruit. Like this is nerve wracking kind of. But then you get there and it's the same game. Like I was saying, you kind of not really pay attention to the name on the shirt, but you're just going out there trying to compete and kick the guy's ass, kind of.
In that first series against North Carolina, you got a single and your first ACC hit against Austin Love, who we just faced up in Peoria, which is kind of cool.
Yep. Yes. That's nothing that's cool about pro ball is, you know, you go around seeing guys that you've seen on TV and stuff and you've heard about and you played against. And so a lot of these relationships go way beyond, you know, baseball, which is pretty cool because you're going to the same spots that they are.
And you got to play with and against a bunch of guys around the country after your freshman season at Virginia Tech, which was a really successful year. You hit 279, seven homers, 33 runs driven in. You get to go to the Cape Cod Baseball League, which is a league that a lot of top players get to attend. That's where we meet for the first time. Had a great summer together, at least on my end. You can say on your end. But what was that like, getting to play with some of the top talent on your team from around the country? Because the Born Braves team you were on was really, really loaded.
It was really cool. I think what was cool about that team, and it's the same story with a lot of, you know, similar teams that are very successful, is you're just going out there and having fun with your buddies. You know what I mean? I think when you get to teams that take things a little too serious and it's run like a drill sergeant camp, then it can kind of take the love of the game away a little bit. And I think that's one thing that our Bourne team had just in common was everybody was there just to have fun. And, you know, winning games is a lot of fun. So we got pretty good at that.
You got to play against one of your teammates from that team, Caden Wallace, over this six-game series against Quad Cities. Well, I guess it was five-game series with the rainout. You also got to play against your college teammate, Gavin Cross. Just one of the perks of playing pro ball. You got to meet up with some guys you played with, and you get to be on the other side, which I'm sure for you is probably a little fun.
Oh, it was a blast. It was awesome. Yeah. On that Quad City team also is, you know, Anthony Simonelli, who I played with my freshman year of college. But it was cool just seeing those guys again. You know, me, Gavin, and Simo all went out to breakfast the other day. And Caden was in town as well. And it was good to see him again. And it was just one of those things where, like, at the end of the day, like, obviously we're competing against each other, but, you know, these are my friends, you know, it's cool to see them again. And it's really special to just be able to take the field with them. And then for the next couple of years, definitely get to continue to compete against them.
Now that you guys are AL Central rivals here, as you move up through the ranks of the Twins and Royal Systems, respectively, after that year on the Cape, you go back to Virginia Tech. You know, going into the season, you would be a draft eligible sophomore. Did you put any extra pressure on yourself knowing that, hey, if I have a really good year, I have a chance to be a very high round selection, knowing you had such a good summer in the Cape the year prior?
Yeah, I'd be lying to you if I told you I wasn't stressed at all going out throughout that season. But like going into the season, I didn't think I was going to be like a super high pick or anything like that. And I was just like at the same time, just trying to enjoy it and have fun. And then as I kind of continue to play and have some success, it got more stressful kind of every weekend towards the end of the season, where I felt like every swing I had, every rep I got kind of mattered in the terms of where I was going to get picked for the draft. And so I remember like talking to my parents, just being super stressed, like going into the end of the season, the final stretch. And they were like, dude, just like what's going to happen is going to happen kind of thing. Just like keep playing hard, like keep having fun. You know, this might be the last couple weeks you have at Virginia Tech. So really just like trying to take it on and enjoy it. And so after that, I kind of, you know, took a deep breath and kind of realized, like, I just need to enjoy this and have fun because it could be my last go around here. And it was, which was, you know, it was good. And then I ended up getting drafted and stuff. And it's kind of one of those things you can only dream about as a kid. And I'm just very thankful it all worked out kind of in a good manner.
How'd you get over that mental hurdle? What exercises did you do besides maybe just saying, hey, I got to relax a little bit more? Because that's a tough thing when, you know, we know how mental of a game baseball is. So how'd you get over that and perform at the highest level?
Yeah. Well, I'd say for me personally, just like taking a deep breath, kind of just like focusing on the things I can control versus the things that I can't control. That was kind of like one of the main things was like, when I started the season versus when I ended the season, I was in kind of two different places in terms of draft. And so I knew I had already like kind of boosted myself throughout the season into a good situation. So I kind of figured, you know, the last couple of weeks probably won't make a huge difference. So just go out there and have fun kind of thing, you know? And so I think it was that mindset of literally just hanging out with my friends and enjoying it was kind of the approach that I took towards it, which helped me kind of relax.
I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the hammer celebration, the hammer home run celebration eventually taken down by the NCAA. I mean, that seemed like a really, really fun thing. How'd you guys even come up with something like that to do?
Yeah, so it was the year before I got to Virginia Tech, my senior year of high school. Coach Hansen, our first base coach and catching coach and assistant, he figured, like, you know, like if you're going to hit a homer off of somebody, like that's a pretty big deal. And so you need to get rewarded for it. And so the reward for hitting a homer was slamming the hammer, which was really neat and really cool. And so just getting there and getting able to swing it a couple of times my freshman year and then swing it a bunch last year was really special. And then the NCAA obviously wants to kill all the fun usually. If you watch the Florida series, Kid got ejected for literally celebrating a strikeout. It's kind of ridiculous, just kind of the NCAA's approach to celebrations and stuff. But I think it's a really cool thing. It brings the people together, it brings the fans into the game. You know, people want to go to the games to see the hammer get slammed and stuff. And Virginia Tech kind of found a little loophole by doing it kind of like in the dugout almost. So they're still throwing it around a little bit, but it is kind of ridiculous what NCAA does. Just with going to a football game, you see them shooting flares after touchdowns. And, you know, Virginia Tech shoots a freaking cannon when they score a touchdown. and you can't even slam a hammer, but you know, it is what it is, and you got to follow the rules, I guess.
And you can say that stuff about the NCAA because you're out of the NCAA now, so they can't do anything to you about it. You guys made the most of it with kind of an air hammer the end of your sophomore year. Speaking about football games, you went to a football game, and there was a certain Orange team from New York that came down there. And all right, we'll skip that part. But a late Syracuse touchdown to win at Virginia Tech. Let's go through your draft process. So what was that experience like? When did you know that, okay, this is going to be my last season? If my name gets picked, I'm going to go to the draft. And what was that decision-making like?
Yeah, so I'll kind of start from the beginning. So going into the ACC tournament my freshman year, I my plans were to play summer ball for the Peninsula Pilots in the Coastal Plains League. And then I had I had some good swings in the ACC tournament after my freshman year. And then a Detroit Tiger scout called, I want to say, Harvey Shapiro up in Bourne. And then Harvey called my college coaches, I'm pretty sure. And so they worked pretty hard to get me out of the CPL contract and into the Cape Cod League. And so that's kind of how I got exposure in Cape Cod. And then, you know, a bunch of like advisors and stuff who helped with the draft process were approaching me to get me to go with their companies and that kind of thing. And so I finally found an advisor while I was in Cape Cod that I really thought would do good work for me. And so going into my sophomore year, he was kind of telling me, like, he never told me a price range or a round or like that, but he just told me, like, you know, teams like you just got to keep performing well, and then more teams will like you the better you play. And so I kind of knew going after Cape Cod, I knew going into my sophomore year, like, I was probably going to leave, but I wasn't really sure for how much or what round. And then throughout my sophomore year, I just kind of kept getting better and kept on climbing the ranks. And so I'd say probably after I hit like my 11th or 12th home run in college in my sophomore season, I was kind of like, all right, like, I'm probably going to battle my way into the top 10 rounds. So I'll probably end up going. And then towards the end of the season, when I had, you know, some really good numbers, I thought, like, if I'm not going in the top, you know, three or four rounds, I'm coming back to school, depending on how much, you know, money you can get. And then by draft, the day before the draft, my advisor was telling me, hey, like, these are where these teams like you, like, you're here on these boards. Don't be surprised if you go around this range. Don't be surprised if you're around this range, kind of thing. And then I ended up getting fortunate enough to get called on the first day. And so I knew I was definitely going to go after that happened. But I mean, going up to the draft day, you're not really sure. Anything can happen, you know? So yeah.
Where were you on draft day? Did you have a little get together? Were you just hanging out? What was that day like for you?
So I try to avoid having people over and stuff. I had, you know, my closest friends over from high school and stuff. But because I was on that fence of going between like the second and third round, which, you know, are two different days. And so I didn't want to have, you know, a bunch of people over and then not get called, because that's probably not a great feeling to do. And so I ended up having, you know, four or five of my closest buddies over, and my brother came down, which was cool. And so I ended up getting called, you know, later that night, and it was a really good feeling.
What was that phone call like? Did you just see, was it a Minnesota area code that you decided to pick up? What was that phone call?
No. So I wanted all the teams to work through my agent at that point, to, or my advisor, whatever I'm supposed to call it at that point. I wanted the teams to go through him just so that, you know, I could just enjoy the night, kind of thing. And so my guy called me at certain points throughout the night and was like, hey, like, we think this team likes you here. And then, but you're like here on their board. So then certain teams passed, which was, you know, it's part of the night. And then finally, when pick 68 came around, I got a call around pick 60 to 62 in that range. And they're like, hey, the Twins are going to pick you at 68 if you're still around. And I was like, holy crap, this is so cool. And so And so I'm sitting there kind of waiting for it. And then pick 68, it's third turn on the clock. And on the TV, it goes to a Subway commercial. And so I get a call from my high school coach right off the bat saying, congrats, man, like super proud of you. And I was like, I haven't seen anything. And then Twitter goes off and all this stuff keeps on exploding. And my phone keeps blowing up. And then the TV turns back on and Trevor Plouffe goes on the stage and is the 68th pick, the twin select Tanner Schoble. So I thought that was really cool. And then I thought it was kind of funny how I kind of got spoiled through a Subway commercial.
You're like Nikola Jokic, who got drafted during a Taco Bell commercial.
Exactly.
During a Subway commercial.
Yeah. So, I mean, just to get drafted in general was super, super cool and super sweet. And seeing your name, your face, and your highlights on the TV is just – it's something special. But so that's kind of what happened that night. And then the next day I woke up, just didn't really feel real. And then I got a call from – John Wilson's dad, who is the scout that scouted me for the Twins, just, you know, saying congratulations and getting a bunch of information for me to head down to Fort Myers to start training.
That's awesome. And then you end up, you know, playing a handful of games, 28 games with Fort Myers the same year you played in college. You get the faster game, a little bit faster game, the transition between college and the even A-ball rank?
Yeah, a little bit. I'd say the big difference was my college season ended mid-June. And then, you know, you just played 50-something games. So, you know, your body starts. You want to take a break. And so I took a break for about a month. And the draft happened. And then I started, you know, hitting and swinging again. And then I got to Florida. And I probably wasn't ready to play yet. And then they you know, we're asking, like, are you guys ready to play and stuff? And obviously I'm going to say, yeah, because I want to play. Then I get into a couple games in the FCL and then into Fort Myers. And I probably wasn't in the best game-ready shape to play. So that was my own fault. But so one thing I would tell someone going through this draft is just to stay sharp going through the summer and into the draft. And then this year having spring training and then, you know, all off-season work, I feel like I was ready to come play right now. So,
and you're off to a very good start. A couple of home runs, a 3-run home run, a solo home run. What are some of the goals you're looking forward to accomplish this season with the Colonels?
My goals usually are just stuff that I can control. So getting better every day, just improving my, you know, fielding percentage and the throws I make, taking better at bats each and every week. I don't have any goals in terms of I want to hit this many home runs or this average. But just like the things that I can kind of control are the main things that I want to get better at. So that's kind of like the main thing for me this season.
Well, that's all good stuff. Well, that is Tanner Schoble on the All Ears podcast, the Colonels All Here podcast presented by Miracle Ear. Tanner, thank you for taking some time out of your off day to chat with us.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me, Calvin.
Choosing Miracle Ear was a great decision. Like when I decided to host family movie nights. Miracle Ear made it easy. I just booked an appointment and a certified hearing care professional evaluated my hearing loss and helped me find the right device calibrated to my unique hearing needs. Now I enjoy every moment. The quiet ones and the loud ones.
Your local Miracle Ear team is proud to support your Cedar Rapids Colonels. Enjoy the game.